the Utah Puck Report. I know I don't sound like it, but I am Jay Stevens.
Yeah.
You do look like the show.
Hey, it's Gary Michaels over here, and I don't have laryngitis, luckily.
Yeah, I don't know how I got laryngitis, because I'm not sick. I feel 100% fine, and I just lost my voice. Last week when we were here, I went in the other production room with Vaughn for 2 hours, and he was showing me how to pronounce words differently.
Oh.
And I don't know if that's when I lost my voice.
He messed you up.
It wasn't like he was making me sing or scream or anything. He was just making me say gunslinger 10 different ways. And Vaughn is the guy that makes all the commercials for KSL, and he's amazing. And I thought I could learn something from him, and instead I just lost my voice.
Yeah.
This could be the new me.
Let's hope not.
Yeah, let's hope not. All right, so today we have a couple great guests with us. We have a guest host. Hostess. Brees Potter, the goaltender for the University of Utah women's hockey team. Brees.
Thanks for having me on, Jay.
I was never sure if I was saying that. I didn't like, is Brees, I don't know if like the S was it Bree? It was just spelled fancy, but it is Brees, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm a simple guy. I don't know a lot of stuff. And then a longtime friend of mine, I know I say that a lot, but man, we go back a long ways and we have some adventures together. Former Salt Lake Roller Bee, James Burdett, current men's league killer. James, thanks for being on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me. This is cool.
You know, we've talked a little bit about roller hockey in the past, and I've been wanting to get more into it. And like for a while there, me, you, Andy Gannon, Phil Snyder, like we lived and breathed roller hockey. And you had such a big history with it, with the Roller Bees. So I wanted to kind of get to know you a little bit better and let everybody else in Salt Lake get to know you. Because it's funny, like when we'll play together and I'll tell people, they'll be like, oh, who's that guy? I'm like, oh, you just play for the Roller Bees. And I'm like, no, who are the Roller Bees? Or, you know, whatever. Yeah. So, I mean, there's a history here that people should know about.
And like Salt Lake Deck Hockey, that's where I met James, you know.
Yeah.
Because I started out playing roller hockey too, you know.
So, James, tell us about, like, how did you get into hockey? You were a late starter, right?
I was a really late starter. I don't even want to say this because it's going to tell you how old I am, but we used to skate behind a hardware store with the metal strap-on skates.
Nice.
Wow. And,
in the late 70s with the cheap hockey sticks we'd buy at the Roadrunner games. And that's kind of where it all started in Phoenix.
Wow, that's awesome. So I didn't know that anybody actually ever used those strap-on skates, those tie-down, whatever.
I think we just kind of ran on them. I don't know if we really skated. It was more of a running around thing. But, you know, in Phoenix there wasn't a lot of ice at that time. So, you know, roller hockey really kind of filled that gap for a lot of people.
Yeah. So, and this is when you're a little kid, right?
Yep. This is younger growing up. Then I got into playing soccer and got a group of guys when rollerblades came out, and we used to rent skates and just go to any tennis court we could find that didn't have tennis players on it and throw some goals down and start playing.
Yeah. Did you ever get kicked off those tennis courts?
All the time.
Right.
All the time.
Because we used to do that here, too. Like, there was a park in Murray, and when we first got inline skates, and we're, like, going to Southwood Park, we'd get, like, 20 minutes of a game in, and then somebody would come kick us out, and then we'd have to go to some other park and then get kicked out of there. And I'm like, that's just not fair. We should be able to play. So at what point, like, you're goofing around, at what point do you realize, like, I'm going to – did you like playing college, or was the roller bees your first thing?
So we started playing on tennis courts, and, you know, we would – like kind of like you, we bounced around until we found kind of our home tennis court, which was in a really bad part of town in Phoenix, and nobody used it. So we'd play there, and we would see other guys around just – playing in basketball courts or tennis courts, kind of the same thing. And so we started finding other teams to play against. So
so you'd have a home and home at somebody else's tennis court. That's right.
So we did that. We met some guys out at ASU, started playing out at ASU. And then they put a roller hockey team together. This was probably 80, maybe 90. And it was the ASU Blade Devils. And they would find teams in California, and I'd jump on with – I didn't go to ASU, but I'd jump on and make the trip with them.
Oh, yeah.
And so we'd play in other states, and that was kind of just before the RHI started.
Wow. And so You're just paying. It's not even club hockey. It's like
it wasn't
sub club.
Or, you know, just I think it was just a group of guys with crummy T-shirts.
So how do you go from that to making the roller bees?
So they had an open tryout in Los Angeles, and so we 10 of us went to that, and they had a draft there, and they had scouts. If you want to call them scouts, I mean, they were just guys watching. And it was at Luke Robitaille's place. I think it was the Isoplex.
Yeah.
And they had a rink set up outside. And just went there, skated, and apparently got noticed by somebody. I think they just took everybody's name and kind of threw them out there. And the teams as they were coming up in the RHI, just started grabbing players.
Wow.
So I got picked by San Diego. But came to Utah because the camp here was the week before the San Diego camp, and here I still am. Just never left. just stayed.
Love this place.
Well, it's kind of funny. So I don't understand that part. So you got picked up by San Diego. They didn't own you at that point?
No. So Brent Meek was the coach here, and Lenny Frigg was an assistant coach, and you know both of those names.
Oh, yeah.
And so the second day of the camp. We're running a practice, and Brent called me over and said, "You know, hey, what are your plans? You know, or do you have to go back to Phoenix after this? You're sticking around, or what's the?" So I explained to him that I had been picked by San Diego, and that I was heading to their camp after the Utah camp, and he said that he wanted me to stay here. So they finalized something. I don't know how. Probably gave him a half-used roll of tape for me.
So you were unofficially traded for objects to be named later.
That's right. If anything. So that was it, and it just kind of morphed from there.
Wow, that's cool. And it's crazy because you just happened into it, and then you just happened to be into Salt Lake, and now that's your life, and you're still in it, like because you're a sport court guy now.
Yep. So sport court. That's where I first saw sport court was at the tryouts in L.A. They had the court down, the surfacing down inside the rink. It was outside, and I thought, you know, what is this? I thought we'd be skating in a parking lot. I mean, so turns out that so Dan Kotler, the founder of Sport Court, owned the team.
Yeah,
and so it just made sense, I guess, when the season ended that I stayed here and worked for that company.
I wonder how amazing that was for them as far as marketing, because I had never seen Sport Court either, and. Then you got, like, when you got involved with it, I got a phone call from one of the Salt Lake coaches. I was playing junior college in North Dakota, and I got a phone call, and they're like, "Hey, the Salt Lake Roller Bees own you now." And I'm like, "The what? I've never heard of any of this." I had no idea what was going on.
I don't want to be owned by them. Stop it.
Yeah, I'm like, is this a real thing? And then I came home, and this is the stuff I want to talk to you about, because this was amazing. Because I went to one of the games. It might have been one of your first games here. When I got home, I had no intention of playing roller hockey. And I go to a game, and it's at the parking lot of the Southtown Mall.
Yep. Outside, I have pictures of that. I still have pictures of that place.
Yeah. Well, and you brought a magazine that has some pictures, too. And I remember going, and as a Salt Lake kid growing up, I walk out and I look out, and there's Rich Chernomaz, like I idolized growing up here, right? And Chernomaz is out there, and Paul Cruz, and the Harkins.
Todd and Brett Harkins.
Yeah, the Harkins brothers were out there. And then Paul Skidmore. And then come to find out, that's how the Salt Lake Roller Bees even found out who I was, is Paul Skidmore gave him a list of like local kids that he knew he had worked with. So I think like Jimmy Kilpatrick, Brian Larson. There were some other goalies that they needed other goalies just in case. And they were just calling guys. And I don't even think they knew anything about me. They're just like, "Hey, we own you because you're from Utah or whatever. We just need guys that will show up with goalie gear."
You're a Utahan.
Yeah. But it looked so cool. I don't know what the fans were like. I don't know. I cannot remember how many. How many do you think you guys were getting?
Thousands. No, I don't know. Maybe
hundreds of thousands, or
hundreds. Yeah, that's right.
Or hundreds.
Hundreds of fifties.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, what, 1,500 to 4,500, maybe.
Yeah,
maybe.
That sounds about right. And it got to the point where they're like, "Hey, we're going to put it at Salt Palace." Was it the Salt Palace?
It was at Delta Center.
Delta Center. Oh, it was newer than I thought it was.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they're like, "All right, we're going to play them out of the Delta Center," and I saw two games, and at both games. It turned into chaos. And both times it was because of Rich Chernomaz.
When Cherno went flying into the opposing team bench.
Yeah, was that at the...
That was at the Delta Center.
That was at the Delta Center. Yeah. So that was the second game I went to, and Chernomaz went into the opposing team's bench fight somebody.
Just went flying in there. We went flying into the bench. And I don't remember what led up to it. I think there was some chirping back and forth, and I think at some point Cherno told the kid on the other team that he'd autograph his skates for him or something like that, and...
Yeah, it just
devolves from there.
And, okay, so how much preparation in those tennis court games had you had to fight NHL fighters? Because there were NHL fighters on those teams.
Oh, well, you know, Vancouver had Sasha Lakovic.
Oh man,
he was a beast.
He was,
and he just wanted. I think he just wanted to kill people. I don't.
I have a Sasha Lakovic story, and do you remember Bill Miller, Bill the Hammer Miller? He was a fighter in the league too. I don't know if you remember him.
Mm-mm.
All right, so and that gets into Major League Roller Hockey later. But all right, so you guys play Roller Hockey International, and now you went from tennis courts to fight to
tennis courts to standing out there thinking I have no reason to be out here. In fact, when I told one of the guys I worked with that I had introduced to hockey, I said, "Yeah, I'm going to go to these tryouts," and he said, "You're going to get killed. I don't even know why you're going." And I just thought, "Why not? I mean, it's hockey. It sounds like fun. I mean, you don't know unless you try it."
Yeah.
So, you know, then coming back and saying like, yeah, you know, I got picked up. And he said, well, I believe it when you lace them up and then get out there and start skating. And didn't see him again because I didn't go home. I just stayed here.
So I think I remember one time playing with you. I think we were in Vegas or Phoenix or something. And it was during, I don't remember even what was going on. And I'm pretty sure it was you. I could be wrong. You can correct me because I'm wrong all the time. But you were like, you were going for a puck, and the guy lifted your stick or whatever, and you were sitting there talking, and you're like, man, I knew he was going to come lift my stick, and so I prepared for it, but he prepared for me to prepare for it, and he's like, these guys are next level stuff. He knew what I was going to do before I knew what I was going to do, but there's definitely that level, because you're playing against guys that are drafted NHL, and for some reason they're like, hey, $400 extra a week to go play during the summer in roller hockey?
Let's be generous. And that's, you know, that's
when the check's cleared.
Well, yeah, exactly. So some of the guys on the team, you know, when Brent had called me over the one practice the second day and kind of asked me what was going on and plan on sticking around, went back and the guys on the bench, hey, you know, what did coach say to you? And I told him. And half the guys like shut down at that point when they realized, oh, they're making picks right now. They're saying who's going to stay through the next round. They couldn't skate. It's like they forgot what they were doing.
Really?
Yeah, it's these guys. And Cherno intimidated so many of them. You know, when he ran a practice, some of the guys said, man, when Cherno steps in and starts barking, I freeze up.
Yeah.
I'm like, go skate. I mean, just play.
Yeah.
So
it must be nice for you not knowing who Cherno was.
Well, that's
because he scared the crap out of me too. And again, I idolized him, but I was also scared to death of him. His legs were like tree trunks, man. He was so intimidating.
You ever seen him play basketball?
No,
it's hilarious.
Is it?
I mean, it's amazing, but it's hilarious. No, it is. It's a lot of hockey players. Maybe just the ones I know can't play basketball. There's no arc on the shot.
Yeah.
And Cherno would jump and just fire the basketball at the backboard. And it would just rocket right off of there.
We need to get some video of this, I think.
That was hilarious.
I would have loved to have seen it.
Probably a good golfer, though.
Well, yeah.
Hopefully. But, yeah, you look up and see him coming towards you at the rink. And, it was – you could tell it was a different level at that point.
Well, and it was – so the second year of the RHI, which was my first year of RHI, and then – you and me and Andy Gannon got prepared and went to Vegas together. But we were doing a lot of, like, getting ready for it. And then we all went down there, and that was one of the first practices. Like, Cherno was out there. And so I went from playing in junior college in North Dakota from a bunch of guys you never heard of to playing against, like, again, being a Salt Lake guy. Rich Chernomaz was the Eagles in my mind. And I know guys before that were Lyle Bradley or whatever. But, you know, my age group, It was Chernomaz.
And Lessard.
And Lessard. Oh, man, I forgot he was out there.
Yeah.
Again, an NHL fighter.
Yeah.
Like, mean guy. Nicest guy in the world off the ice.
Super nice guy.
But, yeah, so it was crazy to go out there and play with them. And then I was pretty comfortable. I was pretty excited to stay there. And then an article came out in the like an actual hockey magazine. This was back when they had magazines. Brees, have you ever heard of a magazine?
Oh, yeah.
Does your age group know what a magazine is?
We had many subscriptions.
Nice.
Back in the day.
So, like, the Hockey News said something about career minor leaguer Rich Chernomaz leading a bunch of unknowns and talked about me possibly being the starting goalie. And it said, so leading a bunch of unknowns like goaltender Jay Stevens. So that hurt.
Yeah.
And then the next day, Cherno traded me. And they're like, all right, you're off to Phoenix. And I was like, what? Like, that sucked.
My name's in print.
Yeah, we had him on the show, and I wanted to ask him about that. Because I wondered if it was because of that article or if I was already on my way out. And they brought in some other guy that they had known. I don't remember where you ended up that year.
I ended up back in Utah getting married.
The league has its issues or whatever. I'm on a road trip with Phoenix in LA, and my paycheck bounces. And I'm like, hey, I don't have any money to eat. You were supposed to give us money for food today. What's the deal? They're like, yeah, we're not sure. We'll get back to you. So we go from the rink back to the hotel, and all of our stuff is outside of our rooms because they didn't pay the hotel bill either. So, like, they didn't even put stuff in suitcases. They just, like, your clothes and everything just out of the room, just sitting on the handrail.
You're just living the dream, man. Yeah. Living the dream, aren't you?
And I was with a friend of yours that you knew from Phoenix at the time. And I can't remember what is it?
Matt Malik, maybe?
Maybe. I can't remember. And then there was another goalie. And I'm looking at this guy, and I'm like, hey, my car is in Phoenix. I don't know what we're going to do. And I ended up having to hitch a ride, borrow $40 from an ex-girlfriend that lived in California because I had zero money for food. And we didn't have cell phones back then either. So I'm like, I only know one phone number in California, and it happens to be this girl I used to date. So I call her. I'm like, hey, do you have some money? So, of course, that makes me a hero there too. But so RHI kind of goes away, and then we get involved with Major League Roller Hockey. What did you do with that?
So with Major League, I remember, you know, talking to you a little bit and reaching out to Bill Rowey. And I can't remember where he was. Back east
Denver,
somewhere.
I think. Oh, no. He wasn't. He was in New York somewhere. Or Buffalo, I think.
And was all excited, said, put a team together. And the guys that I skated with in Boise were, you know, some of the old steelheads. Marco Pietrangelo, yeah. Troy Edwards, Scott Davis. And Bart Hull was there, the tinfoil rocket.
Yep.
But he came out and they said, yeah, let's put a team together and let's play. So, and that's when you guys were here. We had a team from Denver come in and did that for a few months. But it seemed that too much, like if you had a team, you had to support yourself.
Yep. Yeah, we ended up paying our own dues and. We were supposed to have, again, Sport Court was going to come through and sponsor some of it. And they were on the tab for 10 grand, which I thought would get us through the season. And then I think they saw that the league was not going to work, so they gave us a grand, which got our jerseys, I think, and maybe a couple games. But, yeah, it was a lot of fun, though. I mean, that was cool, and we did have some big players, and we had some good fun with it. And then, you know, it's always cool when you have Brett Hull's brother. I have a story about that, too. Have you heard the credit card story?
Uh-uh.
All right, so Bart Hull kind of was an adventure and maybe wasn't living up to expectations like his brother. You know what I mean? But there's this, I'm hearing him, I think it was at the hotel, and he's arguing with Brett. And it's loud enough that you can hear both sides of the conversation. And Brett's going... Brett's ripping on Bart because they rented a car while they were in Salt Lake and took it to the Great Salt Lake and took it on the beach and beached it. And so I can hear Brett saying, they charged the whole car to mom's, or the whole car's on mom's card. Like, that's 10 grand on mom's card. You got to come up, like, go get the car back. Because they towed the car. It was, like, covered in Great Salt Lake
yeah.
beach.
Oof.
They couldn't get it off the beach. And so they just... Yeah, so I think Brett Hull bought like an Enterprise rental car that day.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was. That's the kind of stuff Bart was doing, and that it was entertaining. Because he was with Idaho, still has too, like yeah. you said. And I got to be with, I think that might have been with when it was, maybe it wasn't. But I know it was a great Salt Lake. So I was when I think of the holes, I always wonder about that.
Yeah, he was funny. And the thing about the major league was, you know, RHI was full contact.
Yeah.
And the major league was no open eyes hits, but you could hit into the boards. Mm-hmm. And Bart thought it was no contact. And I remember one of these tall goons from Denver just trucking him from behind into the boards. And he had no idea it was coming. And the guy came to me after the game. He said, I feel bad. He said, after I hit him, I saw him look up at me, and I realized when the look in his eyes that he had no idea that it was contact. So,
yeah.
Tears in his eyes.
You were guessing a lot on a lot of the rules. Because, you know, it changed from ref to ref, too, because we didn't really have, like, a rule book.
Yeah.
And we were just kind of winging it. Hmm. But, yeah, it was a lot of fun. And I think a lot of people here had good experiences with it. And, again, we ran games out of Salt Lake Deck Hockey, so probably 20 fans, 25 fans.
Screaming fans.
We made the news.
Yeah.
I remember we were on the news and stuff, and that was good times. So, now what are you up to?
So now I'm back here still working with Sport Court, playing just rec league yeah. as much as I can.
But yeah.
Almost hung up the skates after I had my shoulder surgery, which seems to – you hear surgery stories as guys get older.
Yeah.
But, you know, got back on the ice playing out at Provo and playing out at the Oval.
And you work full-time for Sport Court, and I'm wondering – how many people are ordering Sport Courts to play hockey? Is it always just basketball and tennis, or do you have people that are like, hey, we want to be able to play hockey too?
You know, it's the majority of it now is pickleball, which
yeah.
is
what?
Crazy.
Yeah.
I know. But, you know, it's basketball and tennis and volleyball. The inline hockey here in Utah, it's other than the two rinks they play at, there's no Narch term. I mean, the nationwide, it's still huge.
Yeah.
And it's crazy. You know, a lot of my friends' kids are playing, and they have there's some quality tournaments and some great teams.
And I got to say this name carefully. Michael Hunt also plays. Do you remember Michael? He was an RHI guy back east, and then he was like one of the big guys for Rink Rat, and then he's pimping a stick right now to Tovu. I don't know. It's got a bunch of holes in the blade. And I'm friends with him on Facebook and Kelly Askew, and they're still playing in these huge tournaments and bringing in big money, winning big tournaments and playing for, like, Team Canada against Team U.S., and then playing, like, for Lobeta and stuff like that. So all the big-name brands are still out there, and somehow Utah just fell off the market.
They did, and it's crazy to see how big it is still outside of here. And I wish it would get that foothold here again.
Yeah.
The leagues that are here seem to be sold out. Like when I talk to them and try to you know, do stories for KSL Sports, they seem to be packed. So I wonder if maybe we had a facility, if we could support it and make it grow. It seems like we could.
Yeah,
talk to your buddies over there at Sport Court. Let's get a little warehouse together.
We got to find the warehouse first.
I can find a warehouse.
Find a warehouse. We can do the rest. But yeah, it seems you know the teams that are here. Out at you know the Bountiful, and even the one that's in Taylorsville, they're full. You know, they have a lot of participation, and I just think that, you know, it's just not really tapped here. But nobody has a big enough facility.
All right, that's exactly right. Because we've talked about that over the years. Oh. You know, it's like if we could get a bigger facility and something that you could manage and that you could have more than just hockey on it, it'd be great.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is you really have to make it multi-sport.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's too bad that you have to make it multi-sport. I'd like to see something that could just facilitate hockey, but maybe we have to take one step at a time.
That's right.
And I know Dave Lampson, I know a lot of the, like, he had tons of leagues going in there, but a lot of the times guys just weren't paying their bills. And at some point, the real estate becomes more valuable than guys not paying their bills. So before we go, I want you to... Tell me, looking back, what stands out as some of the craziest stuff you saw playing roller hockey? Because there were some crazy things.
There was some crazy things. You know, and I think you touched on it with Cherno was that fight out at Southtown.
Yeah.
With Sasha. And, you know, when you have a coach, I mean, a coach was Tiger Williams.
Yeah.
So it's not like he's going to hold back on anything.
It was all good. Like it was, and that was the one where you had fans, the one fan that jumped over the boards and grabbed Sasha Lokovic.
Yeah. So
Dennis Nazar.
Yeah. So Sasha, it's funny because the game wasn't really going as planned. We weren't doing so great. And Gary Jones, equipment manager, had just lined up all these cups on this table with water. And the team comes in there, and I think it was Todd Harkins comes in and just starts tearing into the team, grabbing his jersey. This is pride. What are we doing? And flips the table. And Gary just had this look of horror, like, what? That took me like hours to fill those cups up. And I remember one of the players, Reggie Talkington, maybe weighed 100. And I think the program says 150 pounds, maybe weighed 110. He was under the table, just soaked. And Todd is just tearing everybody up. And the next period was when the fight broke out.
Oh, wow.
And Todd told everybody, he said, I thought I was done for. He said, I thought I'd look up and nobody was going to stand up for me after yelling at you guys. So I remember Gary opens the gate and bodies just started filing out of there.
Fence clearing brawl.
Yeah, but he did.
Hockey International, the South Town parking lot.
Yep. But that's when Sasha was in the box and Dennis grabbed his suspenders from behind.
Dennis,
it was a bad idea.
Yeah, it was a bad idea. Like, those guys learn to fight. They're good fighters. There's a reason they're going to the NHL to fight.
On the roster that Dave turned in, it said that he was their designated pit bull. Didn't even have a position next to his name. Designated pit bull, that was it. So, but that was probably the craziest. I mean, it was just unreal.
Those were the two games I saw. The one at the Dell Center, the one where you guys had the bench clear, and it was so much fun to watch. Man, I'd love to see that stuff come back. And it was fun to watch you. How did you end up doing? Did you get to play most of the games and get some points?
No. Didn't play a ton. You know, you practiced a lot, skated a lot.
Yeah.
But you had, you know, when you had guys like the Lessards and
right.
and it's
drafted NHL guys.
Yeah. And so, you know, you tried to jump in, but you mostly were along for the ride. I mean, that's the beauty of it is even though it was kind of this crazy dream that I went after, and even after I would tell people, yeah, I'm going to play roller hockey, they'd say roller derby. And I just wouldn't even go on after that. But, you know, that was it. It's just the love of the sport and chasing that kind of bizarre dream.
Yeah. Have you thought about roller derby, though? Give it a go?
Maybe. Yeah,
so I said 400 a week. Tell me what kind of money you were pulling down back then.
Oh, we were rolling in, I think it was 318 a week, 318 bucks a
week.
Yeah,
I thought that's about what it was.
You got like $30 when you went on the road a day for food. And
people ask me all the time, and I don't remember. I remember not getting paid most of the time. I remember checks bouncing, and that's with RHI and Major League Roller Hockey. And then the Pro Beach thing was another.
The Pro Beach. We used to watch that. We'd watch that. We had two condos. The team stayed in two condos up on just off of Wasatch.
Yeah.
And so we'd watch some of those games and laugh about it.
Yeah. Well, they portrayed it to be one thing when it was completely another.
Yeah.
Like, we played
awesome
all the games in, like, two weekends. And you'd play tournament style, and you'd play, like, you know, you could see, if you went back to watch them, you'd watch one game end, and you could see the teams, the next two teams lined up at the gate to come in.
Really?
Because you just played, like, four games in 2 days, and then you came back the next weekend, played four games in 2 days, and that was it. Got $1,000. And then they played it on ESPN2 like for 4 months, like it was a regular season.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. But we played it all within, it was like a 96-hour tournament over 2 weeks.
Was there another league that was going on then as well?
I don't remember.
What was the Disney League?
Oh, I don't know if a Disney League.
There was a Disney World. There was a league at Disney World.
Oh, really?
And I'm trying to think of what it was. I can't remember.
Pro Beach was at Huntington Beach, and that's where I got V-form skates, which were fun. And I ended up using those in Major League Roller Hockey. And then the Franklin Mask. And they had a two-point line. Remember
that's right.
that? And it was
right.
curved behind the net. So you couldn't go and stop behind the net.
Yeah.
It was curved up.
Yep. Had a ramp back there.
Yeah, it was awesome.
It was crazy dumb. And the first game, the first weekend, they froze the balls. So they kept them in a bucket of ice. And they had a little gel center or something. And when it froze, had an air pocket in it. So when they shot it, it was like a knuckleball. It was like a 90-mile-an-hour knuckleball coming at you that just had so much movement. We were talking about you playing goalie and how crazy the balls moved back then.
Yep.
But, man, when it was like frozen, I don't know why they did it, but, man, it had some crazy movement to it. Well, man, I think we should do it. I think we got whoever's out there that has a warehouse that wants to get in touch with us, well, we should put together some sport court and some boards and get some roller hockey going. Man. I know the two leagues that are out there are on smaller surfaces. I'd love to see some good 4-on-4 or 5-on-5 roller hockey that's not.
Let's get the gang back together.
Let's do it. Let's get the boys back together. Because I think it's so great for kids.
It is.
And you don't have to pay the ice. You know, ice is expensive, $200 an hour. And you don't need all the equipment, maybe gloves and a stick. And I think roller hockey is a great introduction to the game. And it's so much fun. And even if it's not your introduction, even if it's what you do, like I would love to still play roller hockey all the time.
Oh, me too.
There's just no way I'm taking my pads out on the floors that are out there right now.
No, it's a lot of fun. And like I said, there's some great tournaments out there. And there's college teams. Like now they're legit college teams. Like I said, not a bunch of guys with poorly made T-shirts.
Right.
Like legit teams, and it would be great to see here again.
Yeah, it would be.
Is there any Can-Am roller hockey tournaments we can look into here?
You know what? Let's look into it. I don't know if any of them have, but we can look into it. All right, James Burdett, it's great having you in here. Thanks for bringing your daughter. I hope she's learned something. I know she's going to be a hockey player, right?
Okay. Thanks for having me. Yeah, I'd love to get her out there. So maybe we will.
All right.
Right on. Yeah, man. Good to see you again.
You too.
All right. And that is the Utah Puck Report.